There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And good morning. Welcome to this edition of Hennepin County Medical Center's Healthy Matters. Dr. David Hilden is your host, our last show of 2017.
Well, where did the time go,
Danny? It
really
did flew by.
Good morning. Happy New Year. Yes. A day early and Merry Christmas a week late and
yeah.
All that.
And for those joining us a little bit late, I mentioned it a couple of times, this is an open line show today. That means you drive the show, the callers and the texters. We're already getting both as we speak. So if you do have a health question for Dr. David Hilden, now is your chance. Let me, in fact, before we talk about the flu, let me give the phone number and the text number, and you can give the other number. We have three ways.
Sure, I can give you the
tweet number. Our phone number, and we've cleared the line, 651-989-9226. Send a text, 81807, or...
Or you can tweet. The tweet handle is Dr. David Hilden, all one word. Just send me a tweet to that message, and you have to be brief, but you can ask your question that way. If you put the hashtag Healthy Matters, that's helpful, but you don't have to. You can just tweet it to my name.
Very good.
Dr. David Hilden, like some people like to do.
Well, I mentioned this on the air earlier too, Doctor, that I was going to ask you about the flu. What's it like in the hospital these days, and is it official now?
It's official, yeah. We're in the widespread flu season, Denny. So they have these various classifications, and the Minnesota Department of Health upgraded us to widespread, which means it's kind of all over our great state, and I assume the ones surrounding us as well. So I could have done that myself, though. I was I could have named it widespread.
Sure.
I was in the hospital for the week leading up to Christmas, and I personally had 3 patients with laboratory-confirmed influenza in one day. And then I saw a couple of my colleagues each had a couple each. So between the 3 or 4 of us who were working over the last weekend, the Christmas weekend, and coming into this week, we had a dozen just ourselves.
Wow.
of people in the hospital with laboratory-confirmed influenza. That means a whole bunch of other people had influenza that didn't come to the lab. And most people don't have to come in to your doctor. That's kind of a point I like to make to people. If you're an otherwise healthy person and – you get what you think is the flu, and that would be sudden onset. That's key. Sudden onset over the course of an hour's of a cough and a fever that's usually in the hundreds, at least 100, but maybe more like 101, 102, and muscle aches and pains kind of all over your body. That's probably the flu. And if you're doing okay and you're breathing fine, and you can just stay home. In fact, stay home might be a good thing to do. Not everybody has to go into your doctor's office because most of your doctors aren't going to give you a medicine for it. They're just going to say, yeah, you have the flu. You know,
stay home.
But on the other hand, if you are really sick, if you're at the at one ends of the age bracket, in other words, small children, infants, babies, so parents of babies, if your child gets a fever and coughing and doesn't look good, is lethargic, isn't drinking from their bottle, things like that, they should go into the doctor. It's very dangerous for babies and small children. And then if you're an older adult or someone with chronic medical issues like asthma, heart failure, things like that, respiratory diseases, and you get those symptoms, then you should go to the doctor as well because you might need hospitalization. And that's what I was seeing this week. We saw a whole handful of people in just a course of a day or two needing hospitalization. And for those people, we almost always do give an antiviral medication if you're in the hospital.
Which end of the age spectrum? Mostly older?
Older, and yeah, the ones I saw were all older people. Or they were people, I had a few younger folks, you know, younger meaning 50s, 40s, 50s, 60s, who had other medical issues. You know, people who have heart failure. If you have COPD, I saw two of those. So if you have emphysema or other lung diseases and you get these symptoms, you might want to go into it. That's what I had. I had a few people with that. They're all going to do fine, everyone I saw, but it does take the lives, unfortunately, of many people. So now that the Minnesota Department of Health says it's widespread, at my hospital, you have to wear a mask if you haven't been vaccinated. Not sure yet how effective the vaccine is going to be this year, but it's never perfect. In right. No year is it perfect. It's usually, you know, 50-60% effective, and that's, as vaccines go, it's better than nothing. It's not perfect, but it's certainly better than nothing. So I do recommend people still get their flu shot. It's all over the place in Minnesota already. And this is a few weeks earlier than last year. Usually about the end of January, we're starting to hit a peak. That's the most cases of all. Well, we're hitting them in the last week in December, so that's fairly significant.
Somebody, in fact, sent a text wondering if it's still okay to get a flu shot.
Yeah, and it is.
By all means.
Yeah, by all means. I would still do it. It does take a couple weeks to become effective because your body has to develop some immunity, but it's still okay to get it now. You can get it at your doctor's office. You can get it at many pharmacies, sometimes other places of employment. I do recommend getting it for well, just about everybody, with a few exceptions only. And somebody also texted, should you wear a mask? Well, if you are highly vulnerable, older adult or people with chronic illnesses, and you're going to a place like a doctor's office or a crowded place, you might want to wear a mask. In general, though, we don't routinely recommend masks. What we routinely recommend is that if you're around a sick person, that you swab the surfaces of your home with alcohol wipes. That you not be in close proximity to people who are coughing. Influenza is spread by what we call droplets. So it's not like some respiratory illnesses that are spread just through the air. The classic one would be tuberculosis, simply being in the same room as somebody, or measles. That would be that way. Influenza is droplets. So you have to be within an arm's length of a person who's coughing or sneezing, or you have to somehow get in touch with their droplets that they sneeze. So like they sneeze into their hand, then they touch the doorknob, then you touch the doorknob and you're a goner. Then you get it. That's how it works.
Wash your hands.
This is actually really good advice. Probably the number one bit of advice is stay home if you're sick and you can afford to. I mean, you're not really, really sick, and wash your hands a lot.
651-989-9226. Text is 81807. Let's go to the phones, Doctor. Marilyn is calling from St. Paul. First up here, Marilyn, good morning.
Good morning. I'd like the doctor to talk about BOOP. It's bronchiolitis something something pneumonia.
It sure is, Marilyn. It's and I'm not going to be able to talk very much about it, but it's one of my favorite acronyms. Do you have a specific question about it or just in general?
It's something that I've had for a number of years, and I wonder if there's any future. Do you ever get over it?
Yeah. Yes, you can. People can get over it. I like it as a name. I don't like it as a disease. I like it because it stands for BOOP. BOOP is I'm going to give it a shot, Marilyn, on what it stands for. It's bronchiolitis obliterans with organizing pneumonia. I think that's it. And frankly, I think that's an obsolete term. They use something else now. Hmm. But it is one of these more chronic pneumonia kind of conditions. And yes, people can get better from this. They really can. So I would not just see your primary care doctor. I wouldn't do that because as a primary care doctor, I can barely remember what the acronym stands for. And so go to a lung doctor who deals with this. But it can be serious. I've seen people in the hospital with it. But on the other hand, there's great hope for you.
All right, good. Thanks, Marilyn. 651-989-9226. Pat is calling from Anoka this morning. Pat, you're on with the doctor.
Good morning.
Morning.
I've had asthma for years, but it was just mainly exercise-induced, and I've been a runner. Last year it got worse, and I'm on Flovent twice a day. But I'm wondering, should I see a specialist rather than a GP?
You don't have to, Pat, see a specialist, but you might want to if you're if it's becoming a bigger deal. So most general doctors, either a family physician or an internal medicine doctor, those would be the two biggies, see a ton of asthma. But that being said, sometimes people's symptoms are getting worse and worse, and you want to see somebody who does it a little bit more often. But this is one of the illnesses that primary care doctors see, I would say, daily. Certainly your pediatricians see it daily as well. So if your doctor sees it every single day, he or she is probably reasonably adept at it. There's a cascading series of treatments for asthma based on the severity and frequency of your symptoms. And so we usually start with what we call a rescue inhaler, which is one of them is albuterol, which you just take as needed. That's for the mild intermittent asthmatics. And then we go up to the persistent asthmatics, all of whom need an inhaled steroid, like Flovent or something like that. And then we add more medications the more severe you go up this cascade. So you go from the rescue inhaler to a controller steroid inhaler, then you add long-acting dilators, and then there's medication. So when you're getting down to the farther end of this cascade, when you're on two or three inhalers and maybe some pills, I think then it's a good time to see a specialist who would be a pulmonologist. They would be, or perhaps an allergist. Those allergists sometimes do a lot of really good work with asthma because they're so tightly related in many people. So an allergist or a pulmonologist is probably a good idea if you're getting to that more severe range.
I know we have a lot of text messages. Speaking of a mask, we got a text from a flight attendant who would love to wear a mask while working.
Okay, I feel for you, you flight attendant.
Yeah.
You guys work so hard. And I literally was coming home from a flight about 2 weeks ago. I sit down. I'm all cozy. I'm getting my book out, putting my headphones on, looking out the window. And somebody sits next to me, and they were coughing up a lung.
Yeah.
I mean, it was – and you're just – I'm getting green in the face just thinking of what I'm
trying to hold your breath.
And the flight attendant, without saying anything, because they have to be nice to all the customers and accommodating, she looked at me and I could see just in her eyes she was feeling very sympathetic for me. And I looked back at her because I wanted to think, wow, flight attendants, you have to deal with this all day long. People coughing and sneezing in an enclosed petri dish at 30,000 feet. Flight attendants are one group. If your employer would let you, it would be a great group to wear a mask in the flu season.
I should say.
Right. I wanted to say one more thing to Marilyn, who had Boop. I couldn't think of the name that they mostly goes by now, and some people like to look it up. It's cryptogenic organizing pneumonia. That's the new term for Boop. So
that's the new title.
Yeah, that's the newer one. Cryptogenic means we're not really sure. It's kind of cryptic. But it's an organizing pneumonia that's often a response to a previous infection. It gets inflammation in your lungs, and that one should see a lung specialist. Right. But that's the newer name.
We're going to collect ourselves here on this chilly day and take a quick break here. And we've got a lot of text messages, as you can see, Doctor. But there's a line open, too, if you'd rather call in your question. 651-989-9226. In the Twin Cities, we're at 14 degrees below zero. We might get all the way up to a -5 or -6. Good morning. Welcome back to this portion of Hennepin County Medical Center's Healthy Matters. It's an open line show today. That means your questions throughout the whole show, by phone, by text, by tweet. I see one line open, Dr. Hilden, at 651-989-9226, and a lot of text messages at 81807.
Should I do some text
Let's
messages?
Let's do that, and then we'll get back to the phone.
Okay, I wanted to bring up the whole text thing. People don't know why I don't answer their texts sometimes, and, well, there's just way too many. But some weeks I don't get to as many as usual, and one of those weeks was December 3rd when we did arthritis. We had so many and I couldn't get to them all. So just last night, I put up a post on myhealthymatters.org to answer at least about a dozen or so of your questions that came in on our arthritis show with Dr. Nasser. I actually had Dr. Nasser just write me out some answers in between patients or something. He did this. So go to myhealthymatters.org for at least some of your text questions about arthritis. He promised me he would do another set of 10 or 20 questions or so, and I'll do it on a future post. But I put those questions up, and about 100 people in the first 2 hours already have looked at it. So if you're wondering what happened to your text question about arthritis, go to myhealthymatters.org. Here, let's do a few of them from today's show. Let's see. What percentage of our patients had a flu shot? That's a good one from Bill in Bloomington, and a happy new year to you, Bill. I don't know yet. Two of the three that I personally cared for had not had their flu shot, and one did. So I don't know what to make of that. We did have one of our physicians get influenza who did get the flu shot, but it was within a week or two of getting the shot, and it wasn't effective yet. So we're just not sure yet how effective the vaccine is, but it's more effective than nothing. That we do know, but it's just too early to say. We might not know for months how effective this year's vaccine was. But it's a good question. Here's a question from, let's see if I can get it. Here we go. I have an elderly woman friend on home medical oxygen. The problem is she has tripped and fallen over the long hose, which connects to the generator. Can they make them retract like a dog leash? This is a real danger for the elderly who live alone. That is a fantastic idea. I do know that some of the hoses are shorter on the little backpack-style oxygen tanks, but some of the big ones that you wheel around your house probably do have a long cord. And every geriatrician I know will tell you that a fall risk of hoses and cords and electrical cords is a huge risk for older folks. I love that. I don't know if they make any retractable ones. It's a great idea. If we have an entrepreneurial spirited person out there, there might be a business opportunity in that. But I will I'm going to ask around at the hospital. I don't know if that exists,
because we have great listeners, as you know, and some of them might be home medical device businesses.
Right,
they would know.
They might know, because I don't know if that exists. It's a super good idea. Do we have time for another one? Let's see.
There's so many of them.
There's a lot of them here. Let's see. A hiatal hernia of 3 centimeters and esophagitis. Should I seek surgical repair or prescription therapy for the rest of my life? I wouldn't be able to say to this texter, if you have grade B esophagitis, means you're getting damage to your esophagus from your acid reflux disease, and you certainly should be on a high-dose proton pump inhibitor like omeprazole or Nexium, something like that. I would recommend you take it twice a day. And if your esophagitis is not getting better, then you might want to consider a surgery, because this person has a hiatal hernia where literally part of your stomach, which should be in your belly, is in your chest. Your esophagus goes through a small little hole in your diaphragm into your stomach, and your diaphragm is sort of the connecting plane between your chest and your abdomen. If you have a hernia, that your stomach and part of your intestines are getting pulled up into your chest cavity a little bit, where they can't control the acid very well, and your acid reflux will be worse. So I would for sure be on the high dose antacid for this person. And if your esophagitis is not improving, or if it's getting worse next time you have it looked at, then yes, I would consider surgery.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Sarah has been waiting there in New Brighton. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning. I have a question about toenail fungus. I've had it for about 8 years, and nothing has helped, including the medication that I took for about 6 months. Is toenail removal my next step?
It is a potential step, Sarah, but before I let you off the phone, you took the pills, the antifungal pills as well?
Yes.
And it didn't do a thing?
Yes, I think it was Lamisil.
Yeah, Lamisil. That's
I took it for about 6 months.
Yeah, so unfortunately, you're probably not going to have much success with anything short of removing your toenails. And it sounds awful to people, but it's not so bad. The topical things for toenail fungus do not work very well at all, I'm sorry to say. The pills, like the one you took, Sarah, do work in a lot of people. but not everybody, and you are a case in point in that. And even for those for whom the pills work, you take it for a month, it's still another many months before your nails look normal again. And then even in those people, it recurs. In fact, it comes back next year. So you can't take those pills every year of your life. So it's kind of a frustrating thing. The good news about toenail fungus, which the medical term is onychomycosis, the good news about that is that it has no long-term adverse health effects. It's not bad for you. It's not going to spread to your lungs or anything. It's cosmetic only. So if you can just decide that your nails look okay, you don't have to do anything. But if they're really looking ugly or if they're really getting hard to maintain, then I would see a podiatrist and consider a nail removal. They do it they anesthetize you so it doesn't hurt because it sounds like it would. It doesn't. And then often the nail bed can look pretty darn good. I've even known people to put artificial nails on there or even to paint the nail bed. And you're never going to be a foot model after this, but it might not look as unsightly as you think to have the nails removed. So it's something to consider, Sarah.
Let's see before the break if we can get Chuck and Blaine's question answered. If not, we'll carry it over. Chuck, what is your question, please?
I'm on insulin, and my back is itching a lot since I started on it. I'm just wondering if that's a side effect of the insulin.
Not usually. Not usually, Chuck. The big side effects of insulin are more things like that have to do with huge fluctuations in your blood sugars. But that being said, I don't want to dismiss it as a possibility because people can react. These are medications, after all, that you're injecting. So it is certainly possible. But if you have a drug reaction on your skin that is itchy, it will tend to be all over the place, not in one place of your body. So if you're kind of itchy all over your chest, your belly, your back, your legs, it's kind of itching all over, that's a more likely a drug reaction than if it's in just one place. If you're if it's in your lower back and you're driving a lot, it could well be just kind of the pressure from heat and from largely heat and moisture and pressure on your back. That might be a possibility. That being the case, do ask your doctor because it is at least possible that it's a side effect. I just don't think it's the most likely problem.
All right. We have to break here in about 30 seconds, and it's hard to believe that next Sunday is going to be our first show of our 10th year.
We're polishing up the 9th year of Healthy Matters. Thank you to everybody who listens. We're like on our 470th show. We'll hit our 500th show in 2018 sometime. We're going to start off. It's the start of our 10th year. Go to myhealthymatters.org if you want to hear some older shows or you want to see or listen to podcasts of previous shows. But thank you, everybody, for 9 great years.
And we'll be back, of course, next week. We've got another half hour of the show to go, so don't go away. It's 14 degrees below zero in the Twin Cities. We might hit a -5 or -6 later.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of Hennepin County Medical Center's Healthy Matters. It is another open line show today, which means your general health questions for Dr. David Hilden by phone, by text, by tweet. I see one line open, Doctor, 651-989-9226. We've got a bunch of text messages as well we're going to get to. Robin is calling and waiting there.
Let's take Robin's call.
In Woodbury with a question. Go ahead, Robin. Thank you.
Hi. I had a allergic reaction to my flu shot this year. I've gotten them all the time, never had a problem. I'm wondering what to do next time. Should I never get it again? What happened was systemic rash and itching kind of all over, all the way down from my head to my waist.
Right. Most people, thanks for your call, Robin, most people would recommend still getting the flu shot in next year's. What I might do is just go see an allergist like Dr. John Sweet at Hennepin or somewhere else to just talk about what you had. People can get some minor local reactions to vaccines. So when I always tell people, this vaccine's safe and it's great, and I don't want people to feel like I'm overselling things that aren't true. I want to be very honest and realistic about things, and the vaccine is highly effective, not perfect, but highly effective. And I often try to tell people, you can get this, you're not going to have a reaction. But I do have to acknowledge that some people do get some reactions. You can get a sore arm, you can feel a little cruddy the day you get it, and it is possible to get some types of allergic reactions. So that can occur. None of them are considered serious, with the exception of a few. One of them is called Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is not an infection, but it's a neurologic problem. But beyond that, most authorities, and I don't, you know, the public health authorities recommend getting your vaccine next year again anyway. You might be just taking antihistamine or something to reduce the skin rash. Even if you have egg allergies, they're now recommending that you get it. So I think your question is good. Your concerns are legitimate. I would talk to an allergist, talk to your doctor before getting it. But that's my 1 year in advance advice, is that you can probably go ahead with it again next year, Robin.
All right, very good. 651-989-9226. Should we grab some text messages?
Let's grab some text messages so I get everybody's question in that we can. Here's one that says, great show. Thank you, texter. And it says, 64-year-old male diagnosed with idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. Please comment on treatment options. So IPF, idiopathic, means we don't know what causes it. Pulmonary is lungs. Fibrosis is scarring. So this is what when people, not the airways of your lungs, but the tissue itself gets scarred, fibrosed, if you will, where most of the time we're not sure what causes it. Sometimes a previous occupational exposure to something can do it, like miners and farmers and people have to inhale chemicals. Maybe that's the cause. But for the vast majority of people, we can't figure out why you got it. It presents with usually some period of years of progressively worsening shortness of breath, what we call dyspnea. And this texter is asking, what are the treatments? And I'm sorry to say there aren't any really good ones that we know. We can't reverse scarring in the lungs. In general, in the human body, when something is scarred, we can't reverse it. And that's what IPF is. So there are some newer medications are showing some promise, but nothing's been proven to reverse it completely. So it's often about symptom relief, giving you inhalers and things to try to help you breathe better when it's getting to be harder to breathe, which can happen over months or it can happen in many years. So I can't predict how long that will be for you. It can be years. But one of the things I can say is make sure you're seeing a pulmonary specialist, a pulmonologist, not just your general doctor. Pulmonary fibrosis is out of the scope of the expertise of a primary care doctor. So make sure you're seeing a lung doctor.
Okay.
Here's another one. Is there anecdotal evidence for medicinal marijuana's benefits since it's been legalized? We have a daughter with epilepsy and seizures and have seen some improvements. There is some evidence that it's helpful in things. It's the real deal for many things. And seizures are one that I have heard have some promise that it's going to help some people with seizures. I am not an expert, so it would be out of line for me to say what the exact evidence is. But yes, to this texter, I have heard that some people with seizures and epilepsy do get some relief with medicinal cannabis. That's what we would call it, cannabis, medical marijuana, if you will. There are a few other indications, but that is one that does show some promise.
All right. Let's talk to Dan, who is calling from Greenfield. Dan, you're on with Dr. Hilden.
Yeah, say I play a lot of racquetball, and my knees have a tendency to really ache afterwards, and then especially when I get up from the chair and start walking, and then stairs, they really bark for a while. And I do take a lot of Advil to try to calm the inflammation down. But what other recommendations would you recommend?
Yeah, people that do court sports often have knee problems, basketball, racquetball, tennis, because your foot is planted and you're moving rapid motions in all directions. And so there's all kinds of stressors on your knee, and your knee's only supposed to go in one direction, bend and flex, not supposed to go right and left and all kittywampus. And so people do get problems, court players, with their knees. It can either have ligamentous things, and that might be what you have. You could have strains of the ligaments and the tendons. You can get tendinitis, ligaments, tendons, and then there's the joints themselves that can get wear and tear. I would make sure you've had some plain x-rays of your knees first, Dan, see if there's anything obvious with the bones. And I would see a physical therapist, maybe a sports doctor would be, or a sports therapist would be a good idea. And if it doesn't get better in a month or two or three, then you would probably be a candidate for an MRI of your knees, because that can look at the softer tissues like the ligaments and the tendons and see if there's anything else that can be fixed. Sometimes people get steroid injections in their knees, and that can help from anywhere from a week to a few months. So that's a good thing. Some other people have looked into stem cells which is one of our text messengers actually, is asking about stem cells. So I'll try to answer that right now as well. There is some promise that getting stem cells injected into your knee might help. There's no evidence yet that that helps, but it's promising. So that's something to at least consider, although I can't endorse it because I don't know. So things like that. And you might see a trainer that is helpful, that knows sports medicine, to give you strengthening exercises, strengthening your quads, strengthening your hamstrings, strengthening your calves of your lower leg. All of those can help support your knee and might make it so you'd have a little bit less pain. So those are some suggestions.
All right. Let's see. Who's next? JC is calling from Bloomington with a question. JC, you're on CCO.
Good morning, gentlemen. 2008, I had both my knees replaced July and September. The second knee in September, they discovered a blood clot, and I've been taking warfarin ever since. I'm not having any problems or anything. I'm just wondering, is there something that can be done to treat the blood clot so I don't have to live with it anymore?
Right. Thanks for your call, JC. So you had what we would call a provoked DVT. DVT is deep vein thrombosis. At least that's what I'm thinking you had. That's a blood clot in the veins of your leg. And it's provoked in that there was a cause. Your cause was your orthopedic surgery. That, frankly, puts you at a little lower risk for future problems because it took an event, a trigger, to give you the blood clot. That's to be distinguished with an unprovoked DVT. You can't figure out what happened. You didn't just have a surgery. You didn't just take a 30-hour car ride. You don't have active cancer. It's just people get blood clots and we can't figure out why. That's unprovoked. We often tell people with an unprovoked DVT to take blood thinners for their whole life because it could happen again and it could be more serious. Sometimes with what you have, if it was a provoked one, often what people will say is take your blood thinners for 6 months or so, and then maybe you can stop. I'm saying maybe because I don't know your situation, and I don't know how bad your blood clot was, and I don't know your whole medical history. But sometimes you don't have to be on it your whole life. You take it for 6 months. Sometimes people get ultrasounds of their legs in 6 months to see if it's going away. And if it's gone away, then you stop taking them. And as long as you're not having another surgery, you might be okay. But it's all sort of a risk-benefit discussion and, you know, trying to predict the future, whether you're going to get another one. The deal with warfarin, it's very, very effective, even though it was invented in Wisconsin. That's what the W stands for. Warfarin is the generic name for the most common blood thinner, and it stands for the Wisconsin Alumni Research Foundation. That's what the WARF. But it's highly effective at blood thinning. But it's really an old medicine that requires blood tests and all that. There are newer ones that you take that don't require blood monitoring. You might want to consider one of those, JC.
Okay, you know what? We need to take a break. A quick one. We have more show to come. 651-989-9226 or send the doctor your text at 81807. We'll pick up on both the calls and your text messages when we come back. In the Twin Cities, we've now moved to 15 degrees below zero. We'll have a look at that forecast coming up here on 830 WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of Hennepin County Medical Center's Healthy Matters. It's an open line show today. Dr. Hilden, you can see we have callers, we have texters.
All kinds of
stuff. What do you want to start?
Well, why don't I do one or two more texts? We are doing a lot of open line show to end our ninth year on the air. It's not that I don't have enough friends who are willing to come talk to me, but we just thought we would do a lot of general questions as we close out the year. We're going to do it again next week. And then in January, we're going to have some topics. We're going to have some neurologists on the show. We're going to tie in with the Super Bowl and do a head injury show. We're trying to put that together. So we have a lot of exciting stuff coming up in January to launch our 10th year on the air. But for now, we're going to do some open line shows. If you didn't get your arthritis questions answered about a month ago on December 3rd, or even if you did but want to learn more about arthritis, go to myhealthymatters.org. That's the website for the show. I have put up a post including a few pictures and links about arthritis. Mostly it's a Q&A session with Dr. Rawad Nasser, who was the rheumatologist here on the program. And the cues all came from you, the questions. I just simply put questions from listeners and had Dr. Nasser type me out some answers, and he was kind enough to do that. So go to myhealthymatters.org. You can also listen to podcasts of previous shows and do some links to some of the older posts I have. Learn about apple cider vinegar. Learn about the new blood pressure guidelines. That's all at myhealthymatters.org. Okay, here's a couple more text messages that have come in. One of them says, will a rotator cuff that is torn heal without surgical intervention? Common question, common problem. And the answer is maybe. Your rotator cuff is the four muscles and associated structures in your shoulder. When you think about it, your shoulder is an amazing joint. You know, your knee goes back and forth, like I was saying earlier, just in one plane, flex and extend. But think of what your shoulder can do. It can go out to the side, up, down, across your body. You know, we have Major League Baseball because of the rotator cuff. Otherwise, nobody could pitch a baseball. But it does get torn. One of those four ligaments and muscles can get torn. If they're torn partially, in other words, just strained or partially torn, often they can heal with simple physical therapy and exercises and rest and things like that. But if it's completely all the way torn through, a through and through complete tear of the muscle or of the tendons, often that does require surgery. So if the main thing is if you can't lift your arm up at all without using the other arm to lift your arm up, that ain't going to heal on its own. You're going to need a surgery.
All right. Let's go back to the phones, Doctor. Kathy in Hopkins has been waiting. Kathy, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for doing this show live, even around the holidays versus reruns.
Oh, thank happy to do it, Kathy, and thank you for listening.
Say, I'm an avid listener. We have a young adult family member who was diagnosed with scleroderma and learned a lot about it since then. But just wondering what HCMC does. Are you active in the research part of it or the treatment part?
Mm.
No, there's things going on nationally, some locally, but not a lot.
Right. You are absolutely right, Kathy. And again, thank you for listening. Scleroderma, we don't do active research in it at HCMC. So I'll put that right out there. We have a rheumatology group that cares for and treats patients in a very sound, scientifically, medically based way. That much I do know. We have, I think, four or five now people in the rheumatology division, including Dr. Nasser, who was here a few weeks ago, and several others in that group. So they're really good clinically, but research, they're not doing like new research. However, they're really plugged into the University of Minnesota at our facility, and all of us are on the faculty, including myself. We're on the faculty of the medical school at the University of Minnesota, so our rheumatologists are as well. So they're really tied in with people who are doing active clinical trials and the like. So that part we do. For listeners who aren't wondering what we're talking about, scleroderma, if you take the two pieces of that, sclero is like fibrosing or scarring. Derma is skin. So this is a condition of the skin that often goes along with other types of rheumatologic problems, some joint problems and swallowing problems in some people. And in some people, it's just in the skin. So Kathy's bringing up a really important disease process that needs specialty care. So that'd be my short answer, or maybe it's not short, maybe that's my long answer, Kathy, is that for clinical care and to get we're great at Hennepin in our rheumatology department. I don't know exactly what the specific research trials and things are because the medications that are out there now for rheumatologic illnesses are blowing away anything we've had 10 years ago. So the stuff is just exploding into great new areas. I would say some of these rheumatologic conditions, it's the biologic medicines and some of the new advances in medications are well outpacing even some other areas of medicine in terms of their potential benefit to people. So make sure that you do get your loved one into a specialist. And if you want that to be at HCMC, we're happy to have that or wherever you're going because there's exciting and really promising things for people who have scleroderma.
All right. I think, Doctor, we have time for one more phone call. Bob is calling from St. Paul. Bob, you're on with the doctor.
Yes, I have a problem with the recurrent jock itch and the regular treatment ointment. That doesn't seem to really be that effective.
Yeah, are you getting it over the counter? You're getting
yeah,
it to, yeah.
And I've had a one increased dose from doctors
Right. So maybe your issue is this. So what Bob's talking about is it's a fungal infection. You've heard of athlete's foot. Well, this is on kind of your underwear area. That's what he's talking about. Any place in your body that is not exposed to the sunlight, like your toes or your let's see, what other areas? In women, under your breasts, and in men, kind of in the genital area, you can get a skin infection with a mild fungus. It's like a yeast infection. It might just be the vehicle of the medication you're using. They come in creams, lotions, ointments, powders, sprays. I would just simply try a different one of those. Bathe, dry it off, pat dry all of your skin, and then use a different one. If you're using a cream, maybe an ointment. If you're using an ointment, maybe a spray. If you're using a spray, maybe a powder. Try it, because they're all antifungals. They all contain roughly the same medication. See a dermatologist and see if they can't help you out with a different formulation of a prescription strength medication, and that maybe will help you out.
We have a little less than 60 seconds to go. Another reminder, next week's show, for those folks that did not get in today, another chance.
Yeah, you'll have another chance. Thanks for calling and texting in. We're going to do an open line show next week. I'll keep trying to do as many as I can. And then look for some shows from neurology and about brain health in the month of January. And if you need a doctor, check us out at 612-873-6963 or go to hcmc.org. You can learn all about our new clinic building, which is a state-of-the-art clinic and specialty center opening on March 26th here in downtown Minneapolis. We're getting really excited about that.
Go from there.
I hope to do a show right from the lobby and get people coming in. It's going to be really exciting. And, of course, go to myhealthymatters.org, learn all about arthritis.
Excellent. All right, we'll see you 1 week from today. Happy New Year.
Thanks, Denny. Happy New Year, everybody.
All right. In the Twin Cities, it's a minus 15, 15 below.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.